Good morning. I got to get the room out, you know, the mic out the way, because as Mike warned, you know, something crazy is going up, happen up here today. Maybe not. We are going to focus a little bit on this table in a little while, and my girls are going to be passing out some notes right here. See, we got some things moved around. I have something just happened, and I can't hear out of my left ear, so I feel really weird. So I don't know, right? I'm not the only one having this problem. So if we all walk out of here hearing out of just our right ear, we'll know it was something really about moving that table. Don't move the table. We're going to be pretty much entirely in the chapter 14 of Luke, if you want to turn your Bibles there. We're in a series within a series within a series. How's that? And the biggest series is that we're disciples. That's who we are. It's our identity. We're disciples. We're followers of Jesus. And we're making disciples. But also, we're asking for eyes that see. And so, that's cool, isn't that? Isn't that a pretty cool picture there? Thanks, Mike. Eyes that see like God sees, eyes that see like Jesus sees. And within that, last week, we noticed that Jesus did a lot of teaching while he was eating. Eating was a big deal, and he had several different kinds of experiences at mealtime. And this example in Luke 14 is one of them. Always there seemed to be some controversy at meals for Jesus, and we're going to get into one of those today. Today, Luke 14, the first half of Luke 14, here are the first 14 verses, what we're going to look at today, are kind of the wrong way to look at life, the wrong way, as opposed to the right way, which Paul describes in Philippians 2. So I'm going to have Art read for us, sort of as a foundation of what we do with Luke 14. He's going to read to us Philippians 2, starting at verse 5 and go through verse 11. A lot of people know this, but some of you may not. So we're going to listen to this. This is kind of the right way to do it. Here we go.
Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. Amen. Jesus came from heaven for our sake, because he loved us so much. He emptied himself because he loved us. And God rewarded him because he was obedient. So here we are asking this question: what was it like to eat dinner with Jesus? I remember the first time I went to Bobby V's, and I was going to learn what is it like to eat with the group that meets at Bobby V's on Tuesday nights. And I have to tell you, I was a little nervous. I had met them in this setting, you know, and I thought, if they're the same there as they are here, this could be kind of a, well, like Jesus, awkward. Awkward moment, but it wasn't. But eating with Jesus was, at least the stories we have of Jesus' meals in Luke, there it was awkward. Something was going to happen. And usually he was going to teach something that was really important, but it kind of came off, often at the expense of some who we mostly call the Pharisees, but not always. It wasn't always the Pharisees. Sometimes it was the disciples who also kind of came out the loser in the discussion, as it were, with Jesus. But as we read into this passage, this awkward one, a couple things, if you can notice on your handout there, I've divided it into three scenes, scene one, scene two, scene three. And we're going to talk about each one, kind of have the same point at the end, but they all, there's three different, I guess, stages of this meal. Jesus, we're going to read this, one Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat at the house of a prominent Pharisee. I don't know what that looks like, a prominent Pharisee. I'm looking around the room today, and I'm thinking, who would have that adjective before them as a member of this, or as a someone attending church today? Who's the prominent one among us? Rachel. Michelle pointed to Rachel. Okay, we'll go with that. Well, this is a prominent, this is a big wig. This is a, I don't know, important guy. He was being carefully watched, Jesus was. There were in front of him a man suffering from abnormal swelling, or some versions are going to say dropsy, is a swelling of his body. And Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? So not only was this a mealtime awkwardness, it's going to be a Sabbath awkwardness, because that also was a time when Jesus did a lot of teaching to people who didn't like him. But they remained silent. He asked them a question, but they remained silent. So, taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then Jesus asked, if one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out? They had nothing to say. That's scene one. So here we go in our reading today and in our understanding of this idea of eyes that see. The Pharisees saw a man who was unclean. I want you to think about this, how we might see this person in our situation today. He was a man who, dropsy was a disease that happened from the inside out, and you began to swell with fluid. And usually, it's going to cause, pretty early on, you're going to get over it quickly or you're going to die. This guy probably was in the situation where it doesn't look like much hope for him, but it's also a disease. The swelling of his abdomen is liquid, and it usually smelled bad. So this guy, he was not pleasant to be around, but also what we know is the Pharisees and Jesus' own disciples thought that the reason why you've got a disease is because you deserve it. You've done something wrong. So they didn't just see a guy who was sick, they saw a guy who was unclean. You know, sometimes we think about that, that you get what you deserve, and this is what you, people think about illness in their day. If this guy's got dropsy, we don't want anything to do with him. He's unclean. But Jesus instead saw a man who needed help. Jesus wasn't going to let anything come between him and helping the person who needed help. But then he says this statement to them, and it sort of opens up their heart a little bit more. And what we're going to see is a revealing of their heart. And one of the hard things to do in Scripture, but I think is proper, is to read the New Testament as if you're the Pharisee. So I'm going to sit in the seat of the Pharisee today, and I'm thinking, is this me? Am I like this? Because Jesus said, basically, he says, if you have a child or ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, won't you pull it out? What he's saying is, this is what their attitude was. It's the Pharisee perspective. If you're not one of us, then you're not worth my time. You're not worth my attention. You're not worth my money. I can't help you. You're not one of us. It's the Son. I want to ask you the question, who's we? Who is we for you? When we say things like regarding our nation, we've got to protect us. Who's us? When we think about how we spend our money, we've got to take care of us. Who's us? Who is us? For the Pharisee, it was, if you're not my kin, I don't have time for you. I got a lot of time for my people, but if you're not in my people, I don't need you. I don't want you. I don't have time for you. My resources, I've worked hard for the money I've earned, and it's for us. It's for me. It's for my family. It's for my kids. I'll spend anything on my kids. I don't know you, stranger. But not only that, he asked, what about the ox? Because it's not just that. If you can't help me be successful, see, the ox earned him money. The Pharisee, they had to have their ox. If you're not one of us, or you're not helping me be successful, hey, I need my car. How I get to work. You know, it's something that's, are you useful to me to help me be successful? If you're not useful to me to help you be successful, to help me be successful, I don't need you. The question for them was, what's in it for me? And this is it at dinner. What's in it for me? I came here. Maybe that's how you came this morning. What's in it for me? When I showed up this morning, I was early. We were sitting around, the praise team, the praise band was coming in, and I'm standing leaning on the counter out there, and I have a cup of coffee, and I'm asking the question, where are the donuts? And I was told, well, the youth has the donuts, and I thought, that's not good. If the youth has the donuts, we need a backup plan. What's in it for me? Why am I coming? Why would I get up this early and come to church? Why? What's in it for me? Well, this is them. I've come to dinner. What's in it for me? This is their attitude. So next, the next scene, verse 7. I'm going to read. When he noticed how the guests were picked, how the guests picked places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, don't take the place of honor. For a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. And if so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this person your seat. Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you're invited, take the lowest place so that when your host comes, he'll say, hey, friend, move up to a better place. And then you'll be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now, again, we talked about in class this morning about the idea of context. If you read this little section out of the context of Luke 14 or out of the context of Jesus' life, you would think, this is a strategy for me to know how to feel good about myself. I'll sit low and then I'll rise. That's a strategy for me to do better in life, to not get in an embarrassing situation. That's a strategy. But that's not the context of Jesus. That's not the message of Jesus in this setting. If you just took just that out, you might think so. But that's not. It's in the setting of this bigger meal. It's in the setting of this bigger story that Luke is telling about Jesus who's come. And it's in the setting of the scripture that Art just read that Jesus is about humbling himself, emptying himself. That's the way to live. So the Pharisees, on the other hand, they're again at dinner. What's in it for me? And so they value prestige. And the seating order matters. I don't know if you've ever been at a place where the seating order matters, a banquet or perhaps a wedding. What's the thing you have after the wedding? Reception. You know, if you fed on a meal there, the important people sit close to the bride and groom. I try to sit towards the door because I got to go. But the important people sit close, you know, and this is the Pharisee added. What's in it for me? I want to sit as close as I can to the table of honor. That's where I want to be. Jesus, on the other hand, values humility. But the seating order matters to him as well. But it's just the opposite. It's an upside down seating order. So the Pharisees saw, and again, what's the name of the series? Eyes That See. The Pharisees saw an opportunity to improve their social standing. Man, if I could just sit by Michelle, I'd be the coolest person in the room. Besides Michelle, right. I'd be number two. See, you got it. She understands how this works. If you go to high school, you know how this works. You know, there's a table where you're supposed to sit. There's the cool kids. Okay, honest. I want to be honest as you can be. Honest as you can be. How many of you in high school, okay, you're there now, hung out and were one of the cool kids? Be honest. There you go, Amanda. Come on. Art was. Vicky was. We got three cool kids in our whole church. That's saying something right there. But you know what I'm talking about, the cool kids. This is what the Pharisees saw in this whole meal. What's in it for me? I'm going to dinner tonight. On the way, they're talking, hey, babe, I wonder where we might get to sit tonight. Do you think we'll get to sit close to Jesus? I don't know. Will he sit up toward the prominent? Remember, this guy's a prominent Pharisee. He's well known, evidently. Jesus saw it as an opportunity. How did Jesus see? To bless others. Have you ever done that, given your good seat away to someone who needed it more? You know, this is the idea. Can you sit here instead of there? On the subway in the Bronx, it's an interesting situation about who gets to sit down and who doesn't. I mean, it doesn't, most of the time, most people, it doesn't matter if you're old or if you're female or if you're a grandmother. It doesn't matter. If I got a seat, I'm keeping my seat. I'm not giving my seat up to nobody. Jesus saw the seating order as a way to bless other people. Jesus is always looking, how can I bless you? The Pharisees came to the dinner, what's in it for me? Jesus saw it as an opportunity, how can I help somebody else? How can I help some? Have you ever gone to the tray where there's the last cookie? Have you ever been sitting at a table where, okay, all the dessert's taken, but there's one left? And there's this politeness, right? Like, I'm going to wait. No, I'll take that. That's the Pharisee. What's in it for me? They saw this as an idea about, their perspective was, life is about climbing the ladder. Life is about ladder climbing. You know, the top of the ladder, folks, the top of the ladder is famous for not living up to its promise. A lot of folks have spent a lot of years climbing the ladder. When they got to the top, it wasn't what they thought it was going to be. But that's their perspective. They came to dinner to climb the ladder. The question I wonder is, they also wanted to be known as successful. Whoops. They wanted to be known as, it doesn't matter if they were successful, they wanted you to think so. I've been that way. I'm going to want to present myself as I've done well, hey? Climbing the ladder. Downward mobility is a term that's used in this book, In the Name of Jesus, by Henry Nouwen. I want to explain it just for a moment. Downward mobility, In the Name of Jesus, is the book. It's a great, small, short, easy read, Henry Nouwen. The idea is that we're trained from the size of Jessica's littlest one over here, all of us, that we want to improve our status in life. We're going up the ladder. We want to improve. There's upward mobility. I want a raise. I want a promotion. I want to live in a better neighborhood. I want to get a better car. Upward mobility. Henry Nouwen says that Jesus took the path of just the opposite. And this is what Art read to us. He took the path of downward mobility. He came from heaven for you. How would I do that? I'm not coming from heaven, but can I live that kind of life? The first words of Philippians 2, have this same mind that Jesus had. He emptied himself. Downward mobility. I want to go back to that idea about climbing the ladder. At the bottom of the ladder, what's waiting? Or who is waiting? Who's waiting at the bottom of the ladder? Well, I'll tell you, when Jesus was going down the ladder, who was waiting for him there? Me and you. He had to climb down the ladder to get to you. And in this story, he's asking us to do the same thing, that we're going to climb down the ladder. At the bottom of the ladder, Jesus found us. Who would we find at the bottom of the ladder? Well, at the Last Supper, when the argument broke out about who's the greatest among the disciples, he corrected them, and in a few minutes he said this in Matthew, "What you did for the least of these, you did for me." Who's waiting at the bottom of the ladder? Well, Jesus is waiting. And he's right there with the least of these. Jesus is waiting for us at the bottom of the ladder. So you may have come to the dinner expecting to climb, but Jesus is saying, climb downward. Climb downward. Scene 3. Let's read. Then Jesus said to his host, and I got to warn you, I think these are the hardest words Jesus ever said. Jesus has said some hard things. I think this is the hardest thing he ever said. You know, when in Sarah Fraser's video, she talks about what if we took the words of Jesus seriously and didn't water them down? This is the verse I think of. I want to white it out in my Bible. You know, I don't want to read this verse, the one that's coming up. Because Jesus said, when you give a luncheon or dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back and you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind, and you'll be blessed. Although they can't repay you, you'll be repaid in the resurrection of the righteous. This last scene, the Pharisees saw the guests as a way to earn favors from others. It's the classic I'll scratch your back. That always seemed kind of gross to me, but the point, right? Okay, I do you a favor, and now I say, well, now you owe me one, right? Okay, I'm going to invite people to my dinner so that when they invite me, it'll raise my value. I'm earning favors. Dinner is about earning favors. It's what's in it. It's what's in it for me. That's how they saw it. And I want us to have eyes that see like Jesus. What Jesus saw, he saw the guest list as a way to demonstrate compassion. How can I help? How can I invite people? How can I invite people who need it the most? Rather than the people who are going to bless and benefit me, can I invite people who need it the most? So Jesus says, yeah, what if we took mealtime in a little bit different way? And what we did was we saw meals as an opportunity to bless others. I'm going to tell you a story about one of my church experiences. And I was going to tell one about a school experience. This had to do with the President's Circle or the Lord's Supper. The President's Circle at my school is a fundraiser. It's really a meal to honor people who have given $1,000 or more to ACU. And it's a very exclusive kind of meal. And I was going to tell a story about that and the difference of that in the Lord's Supper. But instead, as I was praying and preparing, I was reminded of this other story. At my church, for several years, I was involved in a program called Neighborhood Walking. And what we would do is we'd go around the neighborhood, around the church, and we would just meet the people. The church I went to is in a very poor neighborhood. And we met the people and we'd pray for them. They'd become our friends. And what we also started to do is on Wednesday nights, we started having a meal where if you could pay, you'd pay $5 or however much you could pay. And then, but if you couldn't, you just came. And pretty soon, you know, they started out with 20 or 30, and pretty soon hundreds of people were coming. Most of them members, but about, I'd say, 30% were just what we call neighborhood people. Well, then what happened is the word got out. And poor people were coming from all over town to eat. And we had a band that would play, and we'd sing, and then we'd go to church. But the problem at church is some of the kids who came to church, they, quote, didn't know how to act at church. Some of them didn't say church words all the time. Okay? And some of the people, all they did is just came and ate and didn't even stay for church. And this became a problem for some of the members. And so after a while, there was a decision made, and it happened just like this. We're going to not have the meal for our neighbors, but instead we're going to have a meal for us. So not even a meal, we're just going to have, and what we had was Starbucks coffee and McKay's pie, which is a really nice bakery in town. And it was just for our members. We had coffee and pie for our members rather than having a meal for the neighbors. Something wrong about that. Now, I don't know who the lame and the blind and the, well, I know some lame people, you know. Might even be here, but I'm not sure who those people are in our context. Remember, we talked about context. Who are those people that I would want to invite to meal? What if we saw every meal as an opportunity to celebrate the goodness of God? I hope that's what you do today. That you don't see it as a, how can I get ahead? What's in it for me? But when you go to lunch today, how many of you already know your lunch plan? Now, you know, I did this last week to get invited, but I've got my lunch taken care of today, folks, so don't worry. But you know your lunch plan, whatever it is, that whoever you're with, you'd be celebrating the goodness of God. On Wednesday, got into some real trouble. Had to try to help some folks who needed some help. And I was supposed to take my grandson's lunch to him because he had forgotten it, a sixth grader. And I didn't because I got busy. So I had his lunch when I picked him up from school. His mom and dad are both working. I get to pick him up. And so I had his lunch in the bag. And it was not much of a lunch because I made it. It was saltine crackers and a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Hey. Boom. That dude dug into that like it was the best thing he'd ever eaten in his life. And we celebrated the goodness of lunch because he had none until 3:30 in the afternoon. Could you see every meal is this chance to celebrate the goodness of God. In just a moment, we're going to have this other special meal that we have every Sunday. This is a meal, and this table that's set before us is not a, it's not a meal because of, it's not a special meal because of all of the food we have, but it's a special meal for a couple of reasons. One is, it symbolizes the greatest gift we've ever received. And in some ways, the best food we've ever eaten. It's the body and blood of Jesus. But also, this meal is inclusive. Everybody's invited to this table. Everybody's invited. We have some extra chairs here. And if people came in, they'd be invited to this table. So not only what if we saw every meal as an opportunity, what if we saw dinner with others as an opportunity to bless our dinner guests and with them celebrate life. So today, I don't know who you're going to eat dinner with. It's probably your family and friends, so there might be some lame people there at the dinner table. That wasn't as funny the second time, was it? But what if, even with those, you would take that opportunity to celebrate life with them and bless them? That you're a blessing to the people you eat dinner with, like Jesus was. Now, if you've got the Pharisee attitude, you might expect he's going to poke you a little bit. But Jesus came to bless others. He was at meals to bless others. What if we did that? One of the things that was very interesting to me, and we're going to talk about inviting people next week, but that Danny and Cindy were having people in their neighborhood eat with them. How did that happen? Well, Cindy's like blunt, right, Cindy? Well, we invited them. Oh, duh. Yeah, what if we took mealtime as an opportunity to bless others, to look outside just who is us and who are we, and think mealtime is an opportunity for other people to celebrate life as well. Echoes, these are things I think of. If this were to happen, if this right here was to happen, if I began to see mealtime as an opportunity to bless others, what would that be like if we spent ourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed? Where it's not just about us, about me, about how I can promote myself, but even something like mealtime I see as an opportunity to reach out to someone else. We're going to end today in just a few minutes and take communion together. The song we're going to sing is one of those songs that it summarizes what we've done here together today in a way better than the sermon could. If all you got today was Art's reading of Philippians 2 and this song we're getting ready to sing together, I want you to think about this song and what it does as we get ready to come to the table together, blessing each other and looking for ways to bless others even outside of our gathering here. So if you would stand, we're going to sing this hymn, Come Share the Lord.